The words of God given to us today are Acts chapter 19, verses 33 to 41, is page 221 in the New Testament. I will read the words. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front, and they shouted instructions to him. He motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people, but when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours. Great is Artemis of the Ephesians. The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven? Therefore, since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have grievances against anybody, the courts are open, and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of what happened today. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion, since there is no reason for it." After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. Amen. The silversmiths of Ephesus turned into a mob because they allowed themselves to be riled by Demetrius, who was trying to incite them. They seized Gaius and Aristarchus, the co-workers of Paul, on the Arcadian Way, which was at the center of Ephesus. And then they dragged them through people who were on the Arcadian Way to an outdoor stage while shouting out the name of Artemis. A huge uproar had broken out in the midst of the central road of Ephesus. The masses that had filled the Arcadian Way followed the silversmiths who were dragging Gaius and Aristarchus as if they had planned it and sneaked into the outdoor stage area. They had become a massive mob and each was shouting, but most of them had no idea why they were there or why they were shouting. And as when the time passed, an odd scene took place. This is the verses 33 to 34. The Jews in the crowd pushed Alexander to the front, and they shouted instructions to him, and he motioned for silence in order to make a defense before the people. But when they realized he was a Jew, they all shouted in unison for about 2 hours, "Great is Artemis of the Ephesians." I talked about this before when we looked at Acts chapter 16, verse 20, which testifies to Paul's work in Philippi during his second mission trip. But the Roman citizens at the time did not like Jewish people. This was because, apart from the incident where the Jewish people were expelled from Rome, the capital of the empire, at 50 AD by Emperor Claudius after they staged a great uprising in Rome, Jewish people normally treated Gentiles like animals and loved wealth more than any other people. So the citizens of Ephesus too disliked Jewish people. Now among the Jews, there were some that had gone to the outdoor stage mentioned in the text of today. They were either silversmiths or merchants who sold silver and copper to silversmiths. So they were included in the fellow craftsmen of Demetrius whom he had called together. They were also the ones who joined in the seizing of Gaius and Aristarchus and dragging them to the outdoor stage. So in fact, these Jewish people were responsible for providing the occasion for this great uproar and the massive gathering of people at the outdoor stage. But they felt threatened when they realized that the most of the mobs did not know why they were there and why they were shouting. Now, Gaius and Aristarchus, whom they had dragged to the outdoor stage, were also Jews. And these Jews had joined forces with others to drag them there, not because these two were Jews, but because they were Christians who were threatening their good income, their wealth, their prosperity. But from the standpoint of the mob, who didn't know why they were there, what stood out from Gaius and Aristarchus, from their clothes and the way they looked, was that they were Jews, whom they disliked. So the Jews that helped to drag Gaius and Aristarchus there detected the threat that they may also get hurt from the mob, who could not tell Jews and Christians apart. If you're blinded by what you can profit at the moment and not do the right thing, then you are prone to live in this kind of fear. The Jews pushed their fellow worker Alexander to speak, to explain the situation, so that the disturbed mob would not turn angry against them too. Now, the Alexander of today's text seems to be the copper worker Alexander, whom Paul talks about as a person who persecuted him in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. The reason that the Jews went so far as forcing Alexander to try to speak before the mob tells us that the fear they felt before the people who gathered there was that much great. And it also allows us to guess that Alexander was probably a good public speaker. But the mob at the outdoor stage area, theater area, recognized from Alexander's appearance that he was a Jew, and nobody paid any attention to him. To the contrary, they started shouting the name of Artemis in one voice and this went on no less than for 2 hours. It was anybody's guess how things would turn out. At that very time, the city clerk made his appearance at the outdoor stage. This is verses 33 to 34. The city clerk quieted the crowd and said, "Fellow Ephesians, doesn't all the world know that the city of Ephesus is the guardian of the temple of the great Artemis and of her image, which fell from heaven? Since these facts are undeniable, you ought to calm down and not do anything rash." The Greek word grammatus, which has been translated as city clerk in our language, was an administrator who assisted the Roman governor and the legislate laws, and oversee public funds and public meetings. It's unlikely that such an administrator would have gone to the outdoor stage alone. Needless to say, probably a host of armed soldiers accompanied him. So in verse 40 of today's text, he refers to himself as we, in first person plural. The mob who saw the city clerk and the soldier guards calm down for the moment. The people of Ephesus who worshiped Zeus as the god who fell from heaven and worshiped him at the temple of Artemis and worshiped him at the temple of Artemis along with goddess Artemis. And so they had this great pride that Ephesus was the keeper of the temple of Artemis, which one of the great mysteries of the ancient world. The savvy clerk first stoked the pride of the people of Ephesus felt over such fact, and ordered them not to act rashly, but act in a manner that was befitting, becoming of such pride. Now this is the verses 37 to 40. You have brought these men here, though they have neither robbed temples nor blasphemed our goddess. If then Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a grievance against anybody, the courts are open and there are proconsuls. They can press charges. If there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly. As it is, we are in danger of being charged with rioting because of what happened today. In that case, we would not be able to account for this commotion since there is no reason for it. Although most of the mob who were there didn't know why they were there and were shouting, the city clerk knew precisely what had transpired. Gaius and Aristarchus were not thieves who had stolen something from the temple. And the person who had publicly declared that things that were made with the hands of men are not gods was Paul, and not Gaius and Aristarchus. Gaius and Aristarchus were only co-workers of Paul. The city clerk accurately pointed out the mistake of the silversmiths who had brought Gaius and Aristarchus to the outdoor stage as if they were some major criminals. The city clerk told Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen that if they had complaints, they should bring charges for the proconsuls on designated trial dates. And if they wanted anything more, they should make a request to the legal assembly. A legal assembly was a city body which discussed all problems that arose legally and administratively. And the city clerk warned that if he were to let this kind of commotion continue without a reason, a lot of people can get hurt. And he declared that they had nothing to report on this illegal gathering. So he had concluded that the commotion started by the silversmiths at the outdoor stage was in fact an illegal gathering. This is verse 41. After he had said this, he dismissed the assembly. So the city clerk dismissed the assembly. In other words, the meeting of the mob. The people who gathered there and were shouting without any reason went their way after listening to the explanation of the city clerk. Once they realized that the assembly they had participated in was illegal, they had no business being there. Although they had shouted at the top of their lungs a minute ago, they went their separate ways as if nothing had happened. They had gone back to their everyday life. In the text today, there is a word that we should pay attention to. Although we can't discern it in our translation, if we look at verse 39 of the original Greek text, when the city clerk says, if there is anything further you want to bring up, it must be settled in a legal assembly, the word he uses to refer to assembly is ekklesia in Greek. As I noted before, this assembly was a city governing body which met regularly on a monthly basis. At this ecclesia, administrative and legal deliberations took place over all matters. In other words, at ecclesia, right and wrong was determined and settled from the administrative and or legal perspective. And this word ekklesia is also recorded in verse 41 of Greek original text. The word assembly in this text, after he has said this, he dismissed the assembly, is also recorded as ekklesia. So this word ekklesia includes the silversmith who had dragged Gaius and Aristarchus to the outdoor stage, and the foolish mob who followed them there and shouted, although they didn't know why. But there is another ekklesia which is different from these two groups, although it does not surface in the text, and even though there is only two of them. This ekklesia is the ekklesia made up of Gaius and Aristarchus, who are the co-workers of Paul, who were dragged to the outdoor stage and were humiliated. If we were to tell from the text alone, Gaius and Aristarchus are included in verse 41 of today's text, which points to the entire group of people who had gathered at the outdoor stage. However, the ekklesia of Gaius and Aristarchus was fundamentally different from the ekklesia referred to in verse 41. The word ekklesia is made up of a preposition, ek, which means out from something, out from XYZ, and the verb kaleo, which means to call. It refers to a meeting of the people who have been called. And let's take a look at three ekklesias that were mentioned in today's text from this perspective. The first ekklesia is the ekklesia which has been translated as the legal assembly in verse 39. In these regularly held ekklesias were modeled after the ancient city-states of Greece, and they were made up of people who were called to settle right and wrong about various matters. They were called, but they received calling from people. It is, of course, very important to make determinations about various issues and problems. But the people's lives are not born again or changed because you preside over right and wrong over people's disputes. And that you are able to make judgment about what is right and wrong about other people's affairs is a completely different thing from being able to do that about yourself. What I'm trying to say is that making judgment about right and wrong for other people does not equate to living one's own life in the right way. Therefore, although Ecclesia met several times each month in numerous Greek city-states and cities of the Roman Empire in order to deliberate over various matters, the people who made up that Ecclesia, the cities in which such ecclesias took place did not become holy through such ecclesias. The second ecclesia is the one which is translated as that assembly in verse 41. Now, this ecclesia was made up of the silversmiths who were riled by Demetrius, and those who were called by the commotion caused by the silversmith and who had turned into a mob without knowing what was going on. They dispersed once the city clerk made his appearance at the outdoor stage as if nothing had happened and went back to their everyday life. But their life probably didn't change after that. They probably remained as a thoughtless ecclesia, getting excited over even a small incident, and easily called to a gathering over any trivial commotion, going here and there without a reason, and wasting their precious life without any meaning. No matter how large a size such an ecclesia is, it only adds to darkness and confusion in this world, and it can never be the salt and the light that purifies the world and brings light to the world. The final ecclesia is the ecclesia of Gaius and Aristarchus that is hidden within the ecclesia of verse 41. Although there were only two, they were nonetheless the assembly of the called, in the sense that there were two, and not only one of them. What is important is that unlike the first and the second ecclesia, the person who had called them, these co-workers of Paul, was not a human being, but the Lord. To put it differently, they were the church. As we know already, the Greek word for church is precisely the word ekklesia, the word that has been translated as the legal assembly and the assembly in today's text. The church is the assembly of people who have been called by the Lord. In other words, a meeting of people who serve the Lord as their master. The small assembly of Gaius and Aristarchus too went back to their everyday life, just like the mob did, the mobs who was at the outdoor stage that dispersed. But the master of their everyday life was not themselves, but the Lord who had called them. They made up the church of Ephesus, which was the ecclesia of Ephesus, together with Apostle Paul and the Christians of Ephesus. It was through that very ecclesia that the light of eternal life and the truth shone through the thick darkness of Ephesus. Now we make up the meeting of the people who have been called by the Lord to 100th Anniversary Memorial Church in the history of this age. We, ourselves, is the 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, the Ecclesia. But whether we make up a true Ecclesia will be revealed, not within this church, but through our everyday lives that are lived once we depart from this church. If after worship at this church, we go back to our daily lives and become absorbed in issues and disputes according to what someone says or according to the callings of different organizations from Monday to Saturday, then our ecclesia is no better than the legal ecclesia that appears in verse 39. If that's the case, the more we become involved in determining rights and wrongs of other people's disputes, the confrontations and conflicts that are within our society will only become deeper. And as a result, neither us nor our society through us will be able to become renewed. If after worship at this place, we disperse and return to our daily lives and busily go here and there according to all kinds of urgings and incitements that are in the world, our ecclesia would merely be the foolish assembly mentioned in verse 41. If we run here and there all day without a break, being pulled by all kinds of urgings or incitements that are in the world, but have no knowledge of true meaning or value or the purpose of life, how could our ecclesia stop being a mere gathering of fools that wasted their own and other people's lives? But if we worship here today, disperse, and go back to our everyday life, and live Monday through Friday, serving the Lord as our master, we will be able to become a true ecclesia that renews this age, like Gaius and Aristarchus that made up the Church of Ephesus, along with Apostle Paul. But we can never live as members of a true ecclesia that serves the Lord as the master based on our own righteousness or qualifications. Don't we know ourselves only too well? Our clothes are stained with all kinds of ugly sins, and far from being righteous, it is more darker than black hole. We have no qualification to serve the holy triune God as our master, we who so easily become undone by the smallest of temptations. But the reason that we can dare to serve the triune God as our master and dare to live on as the ecclesia, which is his body, is because God washed away our ugly sins away with the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross and first called us to become his children. He already spoke through the prophet Isaiah 2,600 years ago. This is Isaiah chapter 1, verse 18. Come now, let us settle this matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool. The Hebrew word for settle the matter, yaka, means to examine critically. Given that the wage of sin is death, if God decides to examine critically the sins of men, who could remain alive before God? But the blood of Jesus, who died as an offering on the cross to pay for the wages of human sin, cleanly washes away even the thickest of human sins, like snow, like wool. So this is what Apostle Paul too declared in Romans. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. No matter what kind of person we were in the past, the Lord never judges us. The Lord called us out, not to determine right and wrong about us, not to punish us, not to imprison us in our feelings of guilt. Rather, He called us to free us from death, sin, and the fetters of feelings of guilt. He calls us every Sunday to this church to worship Him, not to bind us to the church, but to replenish our spiritual energy through worship and to enable us to live as ecclesia after dispersing to different corners of the world during the week. And so we are empowered by that grace and make up the 100th anniversary memorial church that shines with the light of life and truth in this dark world through the work of the Lord on the cross, through the precious blood of the cross of the Lord. The Lord who called us out and who washes our sins away and frees us from all judgment is already present in our souls as a spirit, and He's even now embracing us with His words. Let's all respond to the grace of His calling and put an end to being the legal assembly of people that absorbs itself in telling right and wrong according to the callings of different people or organizations, or being the meeting of fools that is pulled here and there by all kinds of urgings and incitements that are in the world without even knowing why. Let us instead become the true ecclesia that live with the Lord as His master. Let us become filled with the grace and power of the Lord who calls us to this place every Sunday and disperse to the world and live as 100th anniversary memorial church in our daily lives. Although we don't amount to much, the Lord who called us out will unfold His providence, which we cannot even fathom, in the history of this age, through us, His ecclesia. Let us pray. Lord, I was only sensitive to the urgings of people. And so my life remained a mere assembly that judged the rights and wrongs of other people's matters, and an assembly of fools that are easily moved by all kinds of urgings and incitements in the world. Until now, I only lived as a believer when I was in the church. So my daily life was far from the ecclesia. But through your words today, you have made it clear that the Lord has already called me out, that the Lord has cleansed my sins with the blood on the cross and freed me from the fetters of death, sins, and guilt. Thank you for this. Powered by this grace, allow us to live as a true ecclesia in our daily lives. Help us not to forget that we come to church on Sundays and worship not as an end in itself, but to become filled with the Lord's grace and power through the worship. Disperse and live as ecclesia in the world. So may the providence of the Lord, who has called each of us to 100th Anniversary Memorial Church, become fulfilled in the history of this age. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.